The air temperature was 37 degrees Fahrenheit, pleasantly warm, and the water temperature 29 degrees Fahrenheit. We continued to advance through fine long leads till 4 a.m. on December 17th, when the ice became difficult again. Very large floes of 6 months old ice lay close together. Some of these floes presented a square mile of unbroken surface, and among them were patches of thin ice and several floes of heavy old ice. Many bergs were in sight, and the course became devious. The ship was blocked at one point by a wedge-shaped piece of floe, but we put the ice anchor through it, towed it astern, and proceeded through the gap. Steering under these conditions required muscle as well as nerve. There was a clatter aft during the afternoon, and Hussey, who was at the wheel, explained that the wheel spun round and threw me over the top of it. The noon position was latitude 62 degrees 13 minutes south, longitude 18 degrees 53 minutes west, and the run for the preceding 24 hours had been 32 miles in a southwesterly direction. We saw three blue whales during the day and one emperor penguin, a 58-pound bird which was added to the larder. The morning of December 18th found the Endurance proceeding amongst large floes with thin ice between them. The leads were few. There was a northerly breeze with occasional snow flurries. We secured three crab-eater seals, two cows and a bull. The bull was a fine specimen, nearly white all over and 9 feet 3 inches long. He weighed 600 pounds. Shortly before noon, further progress was barred by heavy pack, and we put an ice anchor on the floe and banked the fires. I had been prepared for evil conditions in the Weddell Sea, but had hoped that in December and January, at any rate, the pack would be loose, even if no open water was to be found. What we were actually encountering was fairly dense pack of a very obstinate character. Pack ice might be described as a gigantic and interminable jigsaw puzzle devised by nature. The parts of the puzzle in loose pack have floated slightly apart and become disarranged. At numerous places they have pressed together again. As the pack gets closer, the congested areas grow larger, and the parts are jammed harder, till finally it becomes close pack, when the whole of the jigsaw puzzle becomes jammed to such an extent that it can, with care and labour, be traversed in every direction on foot. Where the parts do not fit closely, there is, of course, open water, which freezes over in a few hours after giving off volumes of frost smoke. In obedience to renewed pressure, this young ice rafts, so forming double thicknesses of a toffee-like consistency. Again, the opposing edges of heavy floes rear up in slow and almost silent conflict, till high hedgerows are formed round each part of the puzzle. At the junction of several floes, chaotic areas of piled-up blocks and masses of ice are formed. Sometimes, 5 feet to 6 feet piles of evenly shaped blocks of ice are seen, so neatly laid that it seems impossible for them to be nature's work. Again, a winding canyon may be traversed between icy walls 6 feet to 10 feet high, or a dome may be formed that under renewed pressure bursts upward like a volcano. All through the winter the drifting pack changes, grows by freezing, thickens by rafting, and corrugates by pressure. If, finally, in its drift, it impinges on a coast, such as the western shore of the Weddell Sea, terrific pressure is set up, and an inferno of ice blocks, ridges, and hedgerows results, extending possibly for 150 or 200 miles offshore. Sections of pressure ice may drift away subsequently and become embedded in new ice. I have given this brief explanation here in order that the reader may understand the nature of the ice through which we pushed our way for many hundreds of miles. Another point that may require to be explained was the delay caused by the wind while we were in the pack. When a strong breeze or moderate gale was blowing, the ship could not safely work through any except young ice up to about 2 feet in thickness. As ice of that nature never extended for more than a mile or so, it followed that in a gale in the pack we always had to lie to. The ship was 3 feet 3 inches down by the stern, and while this saved the propeller and rudder a good deal, it made the Endurance practically unmanageable in close pack when the wind attained a force of 6 miles an hour from ahead, since the air currents had such a big surface forward to act upon. The pressure of wind on bows and the yards of the foremast could cause the bows to fall away, and in these conditions the ship could not be steered into the narrow lanes and leads through which we had to thread our way. The falling away of the bows, moreover, would tend to bring the stern against the ice, compelling us to stop the engines in order to save the propeller. Then the ship would become unmanageable and drift away, with the possibility of getting excessive sternway on her and so damaging rudder or propeller, the Achilles' heel of a ship in pack ice. While we were waiting for the weather to moderate and the ice to open, I had the Lucas sounding machine rigged over the rudder trunk and found the depth to be 2,810 fathoms. The bottom sample was lost, owing to the line parting 60 fathoms from the end. During the afternoon, three Adélie penguins approached the ship across the floe, while Hussey was discoursing sweet music on the banjo. The solemn-looking little birds appeared to appreciate "It's a Long Way to Tipperary," but they fled in horror when Hussey treated them to a little of the music that comes from Scotland. The shouts of laughter from the ship added to their dismay, and they made off as fast as their short legs would carry them. The pack opened slightly at 6:15 p.m., and we proceeded through lanes for 3 hours before being forced to anchor to a floe for the night. We fired a Hjortmark harpoon, number 171, into a blue whale on this day. The conditions did not improve during December 19th. A fresh to strong northerly breeze brought haze and snow, and after proceeding for 2 hours, the Endurance was stopped again by heavy floes. It was impossible to manoeuvre the ship in the ice owing to the strong wind, which kept the floes in movement and caused lanes to open and close with dangerous rapidity. The noon observation showed that we had made 6 miles to the southeast in the previous 24 hours. All hands were engaged during the day in rubbing shoots off our potatoes, which were found to be sprouting freely. We remained moored to a floe over the following day, the wind not having moderated. Indeed, it freshened to a gale in the afternoon, and the members of the staff and crew took advantage of the pause to enjoy a vigorously contested game of football on the level surface of the floe alongside the ship. 12 bergs were in sight at this time. The noon position was latitude 62 degrees 42 minutes south, longitude 17 degrees 54 minutes west, showing that we had drifted about 6 miles in a northeasterly direction. Monday, December 21st, was beautifully fine, with a gentle west-northwesterly breeze. We made a start at 3 a.m. and proceeded through the pack in a southwesterly direction. At noon we had gained 7 miles almost due east, the northerly drift of the pack having continued while the ship was apparently moving to the south. Petrels of several species, penguins and seals, were plentiful, and we saw 4 small blue whales. At noon we entered a long lead to the southward and passed around and between 9 splendid bergs. One mighty specimen was shaped like the Rock of Gibraltar, but with steeper cliffs, and another had a natural dock that would have contained the Aquitania. A spur of ice closed the entrance to the huge blue pool. Hurley brought out his kinematograph camera in order to make a record of these bergs. Fine long leads running east and southeast among bergs were found during the afternoon, but at midnight the ship was stopped by small heavy ice floes, tightly packed against an unbroken plain of ice. The outlook from the masthead was not encouraging. The big floe was at least 15 miles long and 10 miles wide. The edge could not be seen at the widest part, and the area of the floe must have been not less than 150 square miles. It appeared to be formed of year-old ice, not very thick, and with very few hummocks or ridges in it. We thought it must have been formed at sea in very calm weather, and drifted up from the southeast. I had never seen such a large area of unbroken ice in the Ross Sea. We waited with banked fires for the strong easterly breeze to moderate or the pack to open. At 6:30 p.m. on December 22nd, some lanes opened, and we were able to move towards the south again. The following morning found us working slowly through the pack, and the noon observation gave us a gain of 19 miles south 41 degrees west for the 17.5 hours under steam. Many year-old Adélies, 3 crab-eaters, 6 sea-leopards, 1 Weddell, and 2 blue whales were seen. The air temperature, which had been down to 25 degrees Fahrenheit on December 21st, had risen to 34 degrees Fahrenheit. While we were working along leads to the southward in the afternoon, we counted 15 bergs. 3 of these were table-topped, and 1 was about 70 feet high and 5 miles long. Evidently, it had come from a barrier edge. The ice became heavier but slightly more open, and we had a calm night with fine long leads of open water. The water was so still that new ice was forming on the leads. We had a run of 70 miles to our credit at noon on December 24th, the position being latitude 64 degrees 32 minutes south, longitude 17 degrees 17 minutes west.